Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
And it's Wednesday, that means it's time to speak to our Australian science communicator, Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl, good morning. How are you?
Very well. And hey, guess what? I won a prize on TikTok for one of my short videos.
Did you? What did you win? That's awesome.
Well, it was just a prize. It's part of the Australian Academy of Cinema and Television Arts, AACTA. And I did there's two major areas, one for the people in front of the camera lens and one for people behind. And I was in the category for people behind. And I won the prize for my little video, which deals with the following statement. And here comes the statement. The daddy long legs spider is the world's most poisonous spider, but it can't kill you because its fangs are too short to penetrate your skin. And that sentence has four mistakes in it.
Okay.
The first mistake is that most daddy long legs are not spiders. They do have eight legs,
right,
but they don't have a whole bunch of eyes. They've only got two eyes, and so therefore they're called Opilionid, O-P-I-L-I-O-N-I-D.
Right.
So that's the first mistake. Uh-huh. Second mistake, I deliberately use the word poisonous, and poison refers to bad chemicals coming in through your mouth. If it comes in through your skin, it's venomous. Okay. Thirdly, the fangs are long enough to penetrate your skin. Your skin, the fangs are 0.2 of a millimeter long, and your skin is usually about 0.1 of a millimeter thick, so they can get through. In some parts of the body, like the hands and the feet, the skin is thicker, but generally you can get through. And finally, when the toxin does get through, you don't immediately fall to the ground dying, but you go, ouch, that's annoying. You know, that's it. So there are one simple sentence with four mistakes. And so I do that on TikTok. So anybody in the audience wants to follow me on TikTok,
that's awesome.
At Dr. Carl.
Yeah.
And you can find out why farts smell worse in the shower. Don't talk about this to your parents, kids.
Now everybody's going to go and follow you because everybody needs to know that. What I want to know is about aging wrinkled skin, which probably shows my age and interest versus some of our listeners. Either way, why on earth do we have to age like we do?
Because evolution doesn't have to be perfect, just good enough.
Right.
And good enough counts as having babies. And for most of the history of the human race, which is hard to figure how far back you go, but a typical figure is 50,000 years. Now, in that time, about 100 billion people were born and died. And that's about 12 times today's population. And most of them died before the age of 10. All they had to do is get to 14 and they could have babies. So evolution doesn't care that your knees have got a bad design or that the retina has a bad design. All you have to do is have babies. And in the case of elastin, that wonderful chemical that keeps your skin elastic, and not just your skin, but also the blood vessels, your arteries and your arterioles, it keeps them elastic. Well, it seems to stop being made in significant quantities once you get to about maturity or teenage years or early 20s, and then the rate of production just drops off, which is one of nature's cruel tricks. So here's some advice for the audience. Put on sunblock every day of the year, summer and winter. Now, when I was a junior medical doctor, I was taught by all of my teachers to look carefully at the patient. And the first thing you should be able to see, even before you get, you know, to shake hands with them, is whether they spent their life in Australia or in Europe. And if they've spent their life in Europe, their skin is just so different. And that's what you look for. So basically, put on sunblock every day of the year, summer and winter. And the trouble is, kids, you don't get the feedback from it the next day, but you get the feedback about 30 years down the line when people say, gee, your skin looks all right. What happened? Well, when I was 12, I started putting on sunblock, right?
Interesting.
So it's a long game here.
Absolutely. Well, Mukundi, my sound engineer, just interrupted me to ask you a question. He was told that it's useless. What did you say, Mukundi? It's useless for black people to put on suntan cream. Is that what you were told?
I was told.
So you were told not to use bother to use suntan cream because you're black?
Pretty much, because apparently the melanin...
Or maybe they were keeping it for all the white people.
Could be.
There you are. You know, it can be like that, especially in South Africa. You know, we keep all the good stuff and we tell black people. No, seriously, and you were told that by credible sources? Is that just a thing?
No, I heard from a friend. That's why I decided to ask the professional.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh. So there we go.
Okay, well, I'm professional in the sense that I know the name of the professional who has the answer. And that would be a dermatologist.
Right.
Now, the skin gets darker because of melanin, which is produced by cells between your skin cells, but the melanin infiltrates the skin cells into the actual cell itself, and then it gets sloughed off. So when you get a tan once in your life, it fades.
Right.
It doesn't stay in the space between the skin cells, but actually inside the skin cells. So we need to know from a dermatologist, I'm suspecting that they will say that the darker skin is far superior in protection, but that there will be a lesser advantage in getting sunblock. But we need a dermatologist to ring in. What's the magic number that they should ring in on, Dr. Howard?
Yeah, 34519 or 0618951019. If you are a dermatologist listening this morning, let us know your thoughts on that. We are talking about, Mukundi asked Dr. Carl the question about a person with darker skin. Is there a point in using sunblock or suntan cream? He was told that there is no point, but we wanted to understand a little bit more. So that would be great. Thank you, Dr. Carl, for that. One of our listeners, Colin, says, where do flies come from? Do they have nests? Because you never seem to find these nests. The flies just seem to appear.
The flies firstly vanish at night and hide away, if they're daytime flies, normally under a leaf, and they just stick to it with the gluey things on their feet. And they hope that while they're asleep, they do not get eaten by a forager that goes out at night. They lay eggs, and then the eggs go into a stage where they turn into a maggot, and then they turn into a sort of a soft blobby stage like a chrysalis, and then out pops a fly. Now, here's the weird thing. If you're looking at a fly, or a butterfly for that matter, it turns into this sort of, you get the egg thing. Okay, forget the flies. Let's just go to the butterfly. Mm-hmm. So the butterfly dies. It puts itself into a bit of a chrysalis. And then if you open up the chrysalis after one day, you don't find bits of butterfly, but you just find a white sort of mush. And then somehow that mush then turns itself into a baby butterfly. Now, here's the weird thing. If you go to the butterfly before it dies... No, sorry, we're in the caterpillar stage. So, it goes through caterpillar. So, butterfly, egg, caterpillar, mush, and then butterfly again. If you train the butterfly to hate a certain smell, and what you do is you give it that smell and a bit of electricity, I know it's cruel, I apologize, then when it goes into the mush stage, the butterfly remembers to hate that smell. Now, I don't know if that's the case with flies.
Right.
So, firstly, there's a mystery. Secondly, where do flies come from? They come from little eggs.
Right. So there we go. Colin, I hope that answers your question. The fight over the right to repair cars has turned ugly in Massachusetts. Tell us about this.
Well, in the old days, cars were just cars. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted the instruction manual, you just bought it. And anybody could buy it, whether they were a private individual or the company, and then you had access to all the tools. Nowadays, it's a whole different world. A car is basically a computer on wheels, and in 1 hour of driving, a modern car will generate 25 gigabytes of data. That's like five DVDs. High-definition DVDs, and there's all sorts of information in there. And by the way, that information is then being gathered by the car companies and then being sold to other people, but it's your information, so do they have the right to do that? But then getting on to, and remember this phrase in the future, right to repair, the car companies have said, we've got to keep our own information secret and not let anybody else do it. And so laws have been passed both in a state and a federal level in America. In America, they've been passed at the highest level in Massachusetts, and in Massachusetts, two of the car companies are fighting back, Kia and Subaru. And if you bought a Kia and a Subaru and it's registered in the state of Massachusetts, what they're doing, what they have done, is they have disabled the ability for you in the middle of a very cold winter. Now, I know it's hard to think of a winter being cold, but in the middle of a cold winter, that they can start up their car remotely from inside the house, and by the time they get to the car, 5 minutes later, all the glass is clear from fog,
right,
it's safe to drive, and the engine is warmed up. And also, the car will tell you, you the driver, whether the oil level is low or the tire pressure is low. And in Massachusetts, they have deliberately, Subaru and Kia, turned off what they call their telematics systems as part of their pushing back against the right to reply, and or sort of right to repair. And by the way, just as a background, in America, I don't know what the figure is for South Australia, sorry, for South Africa or for Australia, 70% of all car maintenance is done not by the car dealership. But then this also applies to the thing wrongly called your phone, because the phone has gone way beyond just being something you talk on. It's got your identity and your ability to pay for bills and on the taxi and on the bus, and it's your identity to get into a club. And so some of the phone companies have got the right to repair, such that if you don't choose to repair your screen for $100 with them, but for $25 with somebody else, then suddenly certain features on your phone are disabled to punish you. So the law's changing. Keep an eye on it. It's called the right to repair. And become aware on it and affect the laws for better in your area.
Very, very interesting how that is evolving. Dr. Carl, unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Thank you, as always. That's Dr. Carl, our science communicator. We speak to him every Wednesday at this time.